Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your Carolina Panthers.
Hey, yeah, relax. Yeah, take a deep breath.
Oh yeah, I'm hot. I'm
if you really upset, bomb on me so I can go inside. Okay? You got me?
Yeah.
Like, loosen a tooth.
Yeah.
Okay?
No.
I won't press no charges. You can even play the whole season. No game suspension, none of that. All right?
Yeah.
I may even give you some money. All right? I just want to make you laugh. Okay?
Cat scratch fever.
Not even, baby.
Cat scratch fever.
I can't quit now. Yeah, I keep my focus, man. I keep my focus. We're going to find out how far we can push ourselves.
Good evening, Panther fans. Welcome to another episode of Cat Scratch Radio. I'm Jackson, your host. Freshly returned from the NFL draft in Dallas, so here to talk about that as well as, you know, the draft itself. I think it's a mixed bag. You know, with my first blush at it, I certainly like the first pick. I like the tight end pick, and even maybe the second round pick. The rest I'm not so sure of. So, look at highlight reels, but does that really tell the full story? Obviously not. And, but we're here to get everyone's opinion and even look at, you know, if we had to do it over again, what would you do, right? You know how we like to wait a year and then we can, you know, re-pick the certain draft? Let's just go ahead and do it right now. I'm going to give you my thoughts for the 2018 Panthers redraft. And please put yours in the comment thread. And, of course, we're taking callers. Looks like we got a few out here, including my wingman, Goose. Go ahead and bring him in. What's up, GC?
Hey, having a good time. Just got in a little late. I didn't hear your first couple minutes, probably.
No, I just got started. I was running just a little bit late. I was, for the last 10 minutes, I've been wondering if I was going to have to cancel the show. My computer got stuck in this Windows configuration screen where it said, do not turn off computer. You know, but after like 15 minutes, I'm like, all right, I'm going to have to turn it off. Well, just roll the dice here, and it worked out. How about that? So I am very happy to actually be able to have this show. I'm starting to get really bummed. Let me give myself a hand. Woo-hoo. So if you haven't, anyone listening, seen Goose's fan post out there, please give it a read. Good recap, man. Lots of detail. Funny.
I tried to keep it short, but there was so much going on. I cut a lot out, you know, but tried to just get a sort of overview of what we did.
Yeah. Well, I haven't put mine up yet. Mine's going to be probably just more pictures. I think you kind of covered it. You know, I'll probably go into detail on the NFL experience part from, you know, when we separated, and I just kind of went to pretty much everything they had out there. I kind of poked my head in and, you know, took a look around and see what was going on. A couple things I really couldn't figure it out, but I think it was more autographs, people waiting for autographs, which wasn't really my bag since most of them were Cowboys. Not my bag, baby. but I did check out the Bud Light tent, so I'm not sure we really even talked about that. So that was a must. And
yeah, I got to tell about the girl in the elevator, lady in the elevator.
Yeah.
You know that excited me. Catch somebody on something stupid like that.
Yeah, some early morning smack talk. You know, we didn't waste any time. So, this was a new experience, just catching everybody up, just called the NFL fan experience. And then whatever the inner circle, which is what we were in, NFL draft inner circle update. And I think, this was the first year they did this, and I think they've hit on something. It just makes sense that they would hold the draft in their stadiums now going forward, that the event is big enough. Probably indoor stadiums is going to be the limitation. Not something you want to get rained out, you know.
Right.
But, you know, it was like a big pep rally to some degree. I followed the draft pretty much just like we normally do, is, you know, Twitter, and, you know, you're trying to figure out, what do they call it, spoil the pick. But, you know, we didn't find out anything any earlier than anyone else did, I guess.
Right.
And you know, it was a lot of smack talk, obviously. But I think they'll hit on something, that maybe they'll take it from stadium to stadium and, you know, change up every year how they get their 50 people in there. But I guarantee you this type of contest is something they'll run every year, I'll bet.
Yeah, I think so. I think we were good ambassadors for the program for the first year. We didn't get in any fights. We didn't throw beer on anybody. Nothing. We were well behaved.
I was wondering if that was going to happen. You know, because everyone was drinking. There was a lot of drinking going on. But to their credit, they only had the one. It was all beer, and I think only white wine, and then the margarita, frozen margarita, and that was it. But, yeah, nobody got online. I guess we're all, you know, on our best behavior, knowing we didn't want to jeopardize future entrants into said events. I think that's probably kept some people in line. So in spite of all the pretty mad trash-talking going on, nobody took it over the line, even though that one dude that was eating the hot dog in front of us, and the Falcon fan and the King cape, were you there for that?
His
group gave him a free hot dog.
Well, I think I heard his
he kept
leading that rise up, and I went over there and told him, well, you know, I know you're praying for it to rise up, but a little Viagra will take care of that.
Yeah, you just need a pill, dude. Yeah.
Yep. Still out.
Yeah. So, I will say the enthusiasm for the DJ Moore pick was probably pretty heartfelt by the group. We didn't have a hard time cheering for that one.
Nope.
As it went on day two, though, I will say it was more more forced. Of course, if you look at me in the video, the DJ Moore pick, you know, about the 30-second mark, you'll see me there. But, and they pan on me for a while, and I give this really lame little shake of my pom-pom. And because I know at the time I was just sitting there thinking, you know, I don't know how this – I'm more into just, you know, analyzing the draft than this whole – let's all get up and cheer like we just scored the winning touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But I think that's what they're looking for, is the crazy fans, because there was a lot of them there. I got lots of pics of crazy fans. For those listening, and actually, I don't know how much, you know, I got my little, I got my mug made into a bust for the NFL Hall of Fame. They had Super Bowl rings from every Super Bowl, and you could, like, zoom in on them and really examine them. They had a locker, Cam Newton's. They had a Cam Newton's locker there with all his stuff in it. And, of course, his weird shoes with the word chosen on them. Look like confetti. Seems like I remember seeing him wear those. Yeah. And it had his kid's name on it. But I admit it actually works pretty well on a shoe. Chosen.
Yeah.
So I just wonder if he...
I like the rings. I enjoyed looking at all the different rings.
Did you look at the rings? Yeah, I looked at a couple of them.
I went through, yeah.
Yeah. Just sucks we didn't actually have one ourselves.
I know. I sort of skipped the 51.
God damn it. Although I could only see a couple of them, and I was like, you know, there's a couple of years there where they're really gaudy. And then they kind of dialed it back a little bit. But, let's see, you know, they just had a lot of different things you could look at. And then some sponsors had contests. Vardy had his freaking Hyundai dealership call me 3 damn times. I'm like, all because I filled out a freaking survey trying to win a damn.
Yeah, that's why.
A sleep number, what was it? I don't even remember. Like a weekend for two some damn where. oh, Lord.
Live and learn, young Padawan.
Yeah.
Don't fill out anything.
Now, let's see, I've got a couple. Where was I going to go? I got. What's your lasting impression? Where you know, now that you've had a few days to digest the overall draft, what's your thought?
Well, you know, I told you, just like with the first pick, I wish we could have gotten Wynn, and he went one pick before our pick. But I have a feeling that had Wynn been on the board, we still would have ended up with DJ Moore. I think they would have decided that was the pick.
Yeah.
And then in the second round, I wanted Bates. And sure enough, the pick before our pick, Bates gets selected by Cincinnati. So I'm 0-2. And then when we go to 3, and we pick up the kid from Tennessee, I'd seen his name before and heard about him some, but I'd never looked at him on film, so I really didn't know that much about him. So then you're going on faith, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, in my draft, we could have got Wynn, and then we could have got Bates, and then maybe with that third pick, we could have got the wide receiver go, like, with the Traquan Smith. You know, he had more yards per catch than anybody in the country last year. The kid from UCF.
Yeah.
So he would be stretching the field for us. But, you know, I can't argue with what they did. They were hitting spots. I hated the end of the draft.
They went special teams.
Yeah, and then you know, I've been on Colby Gossett for 3 years, saying he was going to be a good player, and he lasted till the 6th round, and that could have been our guard.
I looked into Jermaine Carter. He's made a lot of time. What he's led the team in tackles 3 straight seasons. That's pretty strong, you know, in the Big Ten. Andre Smith, North Carolina, don't really know much about him. And same with the defensive tackle. Seems like I should know him, though.
I got to say, though, the picks in the 4th round, both of them, were, you know, I've got my own little breakout sheet for all the players and all. And I had both of them if they were there to pick them, because I like both of them. Ian Thomas, the tight end, and Marquise Haynes, the kid from Mississippi.
Yeah.
So, you know, for once I fell in line with them.
You like the Marquise Haynes pick?
Oh, yeah, I did. I thought that was a good pick in that round. I sort of look for value picks, you know, where is the extreme outside we could get them, and that's where I thought it was. So I think we did good on him.
Yeah, back on the Rashawn Golden, they're calling him a safety, even though he played cornerback a lot. I think he's the one they plan to do safety, which is makes sense because I think they want Jackson to try to play the slot with his speed.
Right.
So, you know, so we're still kind of lacking a cornerback for the outside. So it's going to be, across from Bradbury, Cornelder battling
Cockrell.
Cockrell, yeah. I was trying to remember who it was we brought in for free agency. Yep, Cockrell. As long as they stay healthy, that should be a pretty good depth, I would think. As long as, you know, they both stay healthy.
We've got like...
You like Ian Thomas. I remember you telling me pre-draft that you like Ian Thomas. I think we talked about that last week.
Right.
So
he was sort of a late bloomer.
He certainly looks like he's got good hands, very athletic, and he's certainly good with the ball in his hands. He runs the ball well. I think there's some possibility there. The Marquise Haynes, his combine film looks good.
I liked him. I thought he would. I really thought he would probably go in the middle of the third round. So when he's there, middle of the fourth round, that was a good pick.
Yeah. I think I mentioned while we were maybe eating breakfast that last. That while we're waiting for the airplane that we almost missed coming home, that the DJ Moore and Dante Jackson will forever be compared to the Falcons, Calvin Ridley and Isaiah Oliver.
Yep.
That, you know, they pick right after, a couple picks right after us.
Picks later.
The same position. Yeah, you know, basically took the person we passed on. We'll see who did a better job this year. Isaiah Oliver was a pretty good baller, but I think in the end the speed that Jackson has has had to be certainly a big factor. I wasn't crazy about the trade. We gained. We still ended up with four draft picks, and then we used. What, the 147, the trade up to get Haynes, right?
Right.
So we took the 136 and gave up the 147 and our other, I guess, fifth round pick.
The extra fifth round pick they'd picked up, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So... I'm just like, all I did was allow us to jump up and get Haynes. I guess Ian Thomas may have been your target at 88, and you rolled the dice and he was still there. You know, if that was what they said, you know, I'd be like, okay, I guess that makes sense. But I couldn't help but, you know, look at the thing and think who could I've gotten at 88 and, hope Haynes was still there. They must have had what would you say they had for them to trade up into that round to get him and give up a later pick? They probably had a third or fourth round grade on him, you think?
Yeah, I think they probably had a mid-third round grade. That's where I had him at. And I think that was a pretty good consensus most places.
Yeah. So.
Because you know that, you know, that wasn't going to be a fan pick or anything like that. Everybody from North Carolina wanted Ejiofor or whatever, however you pronounce his last name. The kid from Wake Forest, the defensive end.
Oh, yeah. I can't say it either, but I know you're talking about. I thought you were going to say NC State's Jalen Samuels. We could have gotten
him. Well, I wish they'd have picked him in the fifth round when they used that pick on Carter.
That's what I was saying. He was still on the board when we picked Carter.
Yep.
And I don't know. You know, the State players just rave about this guy that he's a playmaker, so.
Yeah, and we need another running back, I thought.
Yeah. The Maurice Hurst slide, you know, that was the biggest slide. Even though he was supposedly cleared medically, I guess the teams just weren't buying it. He was still on the board when we picked Marquise Haynes. But then he went shortly thereafter, I think, to Tennessee.
Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah. You know, another thing, looking at who's on the board at that number three, number 85, the Arden Key, that defensive end, safety Ronnie Harrison, who slid into the third round, which was interesting. I had some people had him mocked to in the first round.
Yeah, well,
and then,
somebody that didn't quite make it was Martinez Rankin. He was the left tackle at Mississippi State, but they're going to move him into center, I think. But he would have been a good pick for us if he'd have been around at 88, but he got picked at like 80, I think. Right at 80, 81, somewhere in there.
Oh, no, we gave up our sixth rounder and the fourth to the 147 and the 197 and the sixth to move up and get Haynes. So, I mean, that's not a big
deal. Well, we picked up a fourth and a fifth by moving back from the 88 pick.
Yeah. Moved back three spots, or 13 spots. You know.
So he went back and then moved back up. So it was just sort of a shifting around a little bit. But I wrote on the blog today that when I saw that Colby Gossett had ended up in the end of the sixth round, if he'd have got into the 30s of the sixth round, I'd have got somebody to take next year's sixth round and one of our seventh round picks this year to give up their sixth round pick this year and grab him. I wish they'd done that.
Yeah.
And instead, he went to one of the northern teams. It might have been Green Bay or something. Got him. I can't remember who picked him up. Green Bay or Minnesota. I think it was Minnesota now that I think about it.
Yeah. A lot of good players we could have had at that 88 spot. But to me, the draft and the talent was petering out right around that spot, too.
Yeah.
When you start to look at it and start to hit a bunch of names you're not really that familiar with. But, you know, maybe we'll hit some diamonds there. You know, like I said, the Marquise Haynes, his combine performance looked pretty good. Tall kid. But I like them tall. Make them hard to throw over top of. Well,
I'm going on the computer right now. I want to go Tampa Bay pick, because I remember Tampa Bay got a good grade, but I thought they picked a couple of iffy selections. Let me go see if I can find
Well,
them
you know, most of the teams, you know, the fans were pretty happy with their picks. Nobody really bad-mouthed their picks, except for the Saints fans. They were not happy with that Davenport, with what they gave up. What, the next year's number one, this one, and a second rounder or something? It was that's a pretty good price to pay for a pass rusher that some people weren't sure he was even a first-round pick. So, I don't know. We'll see. I'm just hoping the Bucks fucked it up. Or Saints, I mean. The Saints, duh. Yeah.
Well, we can only hope.
Yeah, that's all we can do. I was surprised we didn't take any offensive linemen. I like Taters or Eric's title his post, Cam gets weapons but no armor.
Yep, I thought that was very clever.
Yeah, but we did get three guards undrafted free agents, so I guess we just think that, you know, there's lots of Andrew Norwells out there to be mined. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it'd be nice if you could pull a Pro Bowl guard out of, you know, undrafted free agent class, you know, every couple of years maybe. Be nice.
Yeah, well, you know, I can't argue with them. You know, I don't like it, but I can't argue with them. I remember them pulling a defensive end and putting him as guard and having a 12-4 season.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Are you talking
with
about
Nate?
What
was Nate's last name? Yeah. Chandler?
Chandler?
Yeah, remember he was a defensive end.
Yeah.
And they put him in as a guard because they were hurting on offensive linemen. And that was the year that we ended up 12-4.
He was still pretty bad, though. I mean, he worked okay, you know, for a short term, but
yeah,
I don't think he started that much. But yeah, we had him in there. But I mean, we were trying all kinds of projects here in the last 10 years. You know, get one of those strongman Foucault, strongman competitor,
Foucault.
Yeah, Foucault. That's it. But
yeah, we should have got that Aussie rugby player for our offensive tackle.
You know, oh yeah. I will say, the Aussie guy. Yeah. Well, I was just thinking about the Bills fan there. Wasn't that like in the 7th round? And I think that was really spontaneous, where it was one of the guys in the Bills crowd that had just started treatment for cancer.
Yeah.
I think that was fun.
He's sort of their
went pretty well. Yeah.
Yeah, he's been their super fan for years, and apparently he's battling cancer now, and I guess word got out through the ranks. So it was a spontaneous. It wasn't planned to bring him up there, but they brought him up there and let him make the pick. So
I don't know what he looked
cool.
like, though. He never took the mask off. Like he's Mr. Wrestling number one or something, you know? Yeah.
He might look like me. He didn't want to be seen.
he'd broken enough cameras in his day.
That was me. You're in the middle of all those pictures, and all you see is my elbow.
It was your better elbow, though.
I was trying to avoid it.
I hear you. Well, I guess Catastrophe's not going to dial in, damn it. So
can't depend on anybody.
I know it.
We'll have to take away his birthday or something.
I liked, you know, I was looking up those haka dances and what was the other one that the Kongan, right? Yeah,
yep.
Lotui and his little dance he did up there. I wonder if that was on TV or not, but that was pretty funny. I liked
it. Yeah.
But let's see, what else? Oh, you didn't include your Rich Eisen story, but I didn't know if you didn't want to loud him out, you know, hope maybe you guys could do lunch sometime or something. With his phobia. You remember? You didn't, yeah.
Yeah, I
so
didn't
did
out
you do
him.
That out on purpose? You didn't out him on that?
Yeah, kind of. You know, I didn't want to do, like I said, it was getting so long. I tried to put everything in little paragraphs so you wouldn't get bored. Senseless reading some long diatribe, and
right.
I tried not to put too much in there, but I wanted to get the main point, so I just felt like that was just a little sidebar sort of thing,
yeah.
You know?
All right, so I'll set the story up, and then you can finish it, but so you were stalking the back of this set where the people go in and out hoping to get autographs. No, that wasn't the Rich Eisen thing, was it? You did that at the beer.
No,
line,
that
right?
was trying to get Schrager's autograph, and Dak Prescott came up with his entourage of security guys. So I got a fist bump from him, but where I was all alone waiting on trying to get an autograph, next thing I know, I was in the middle of 90 Cowboy fans that were running after him. So I bailed
after
on
Dak,
that one.
After Dak, I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, he was going to the NFL Network's building, you know, the setup, the stage. So I was right
yeah.
by the stage door, and there wasn't anybody there. But when he went in, then all of a sudden there's crowds, 8 people thick there, waiting for him to get through with this set on the,
yeah.
you know, on the stage and head back out, I guess. I don't know. So I left.
It's dangerous down there if you play for the Cowboys. You get swamped.
And then
so
I had,
the Rich Eisen was when we were at – that was during the first round, right? And we were inside and you went to
right,
the second.
And I was
right?
in the line for the to get a soft drink, and he came by. So I got a selfie with him, and I went to shake his hand, and he said, "I can't do that." He just held his hand back. I guess he's a germaphobe with a handshake.
Yeah.
Maybe and, I mean,
so.
A lot of people like that. It's not a big deal.
Nah.
So then I saw him the next day, and I get his autograph. Along with the selfie, I got his autograph. So. And actually,
what autograph
the hat,
you
I got him to sign the draft hat that I'd bought. And he was sitting there with Jim Brown. And Jim Brown had the hat in his hand to sign, and his security detail grabbed him up to take him back wherever they were going. So he's got to go and squished him off. So he threw the hat back to me without signing it.
I
had a brush with greatness with the goat, Jim Brown.
That guy is certainly...
The goat made me look
guy.
Like a goat. I didn't get an autograph.
He is one of a kind. And who was the quarterback on one of the sets that kept throwing the football back and forth with the fans? I think they said Steve? Or, no, Pete? Who was... It was I didn't recognize him.
I didn't see it.
Okay.
They hadn't come out the one day, and it was Roger Staubach had a football on the stage and threw it into the crowd. They had 3 Dallas Cowboy quarterbacks. I think Aikman was there and threw one into the crowd, and I can't remember who the other guy was. But they threw the ball into the crowd.
Yeah, people were just throwing it up there, and he wasn't signing them or anything. He was just playing catch with them, you know, in between sets, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I can't remember. It was on the ESPN set. I do remember that much. I'll have to look that up. So who all did you get to sign your hat?
Well, I got Rich Eisen, and I guess it's Joe as his sidekick on his radio show. I got Ian Rappaport. I got, Christian McCaffrey's mom and her son to sign it. I told you I thought her son's autograph might be the most valuable one I had on there. He's the one, the 5-star recruit, junior in high school, and has already had over 100 schools contact him trying to recruit him. And I got Tan Gartner, Jordan Groves, Jason Baker,
and
Dante Wesley.
Lisa McCaffrey's hot. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
Chris's mom. I was like, damn, dude. But
he came down and sat down right beside me and was talking, and I didn't realize who it was until late. All of a sudden, when Nick said, this is her. No, her. I didn't know that was her when she sat down and was talking with me. She just said, you don't mind if I sit down here and talk with some Panther fans? I said, no, have a seat. So we were talking, and then Nick's ours. Oh, this is Mrs. McCaffrey. This is Christian's mom. And when that happened, then there was a sudden rush into the space there, so I sort of slipped back.
Yeah.
Let them have at it. Yeah.
Did lots of
It was funny, right before she left, she came back over and tapped me on the shoulder and said, you want to get a picture? So she was really nice, you know, come back.
Yeah.
I got a picture with her. So, and I got a picture of you and Han Gartner and her and her son, Jake. And Jake is holding up the flag and you're looking over it like Kilroy. I can see your nose and your eyes and your forehead.
All right. Glad I could, strike a pose.
Yeah, man.
That's good. Old Kilroy. So, yeah, pulling up Walter rankings to see what is Marcus. Yeah, Marcus Davenport. That's even, they gave up a ton for him. Arden Key, the 5th ranked. Let's see. I also sat in when I could find some shade and listen to SiriusXM on Pat Kerwin, his show. And I told you Brandon Bean called in. That's kind of what grabbed my attention. They're like, Brandon Bean will be on shortly. I was like, let me go listen to what he's got to say. And, he made a lot of great points. But there were some Bills fans there, and they are very happy with Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. They are happy with the draft. And I told him we felt like we missed the freaking boat when we let him walk, and then 2 weeks later we fired Gettleman. It was like, what the hell? Poor planning on your part, JR. Like Walter Football.
Yeah, it wasn't one of their days of glory.
That's one way of putting it, yeah.
As though what's his face, a speed receiver left and went to the Saints.
Ted Ginn.
Ginn, yeah. When Ginn came back from Arizona, and I talked with him, he said, "Yeah, that was a fumble." Well, letting Bean go and then firing Gettleman 2 weeks later—that was a fumble.
Yeah, that was definitely a fumble. Marquise Hayes actually is only 6'2". For some reason, I was thinking he was taller than that. Yeah, he's just kind of light, 235. But long arms. So, I don't know. Wasn't really a top performer in anything. What do you know, number wise.
Right.
I don't know. So yeah, Golden, you know, is one we're gonna, you know. Go ahead. What were you gonna say?
So I was just gonna say, you know, Davenport was one of those things that it's a shot, you know. It's a gamble. I don't think anybody knows what he's gonna be.
Yeah.
That's sort of, I was trying to remember who it was that Tampa got that I liked, but I thought was risky pick, and it was the safety out of Pittsburgh, Jordan Whitehead.
Yeah.
He's a really good athlete, but he has so much trouble, not big trouble, but he's always got something going on the side. He's been suspended from the team for a couple of games, and he's always on the peripheral of trouble, you know, right on the edge. And you just wonder whether he's ever going to make a full season without getting suspended for some games or something, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about the top of the draft. What was strange about, you know, the Browns did a good job of hiding who they really were interested in up until about the last day. And then, I don't know, the leak started coming because then it almost, you know, then it was, we were hearing a lot about Baker Mayfield and that there was a couple
right.
of people that had him rated the highest, but not many people were really mocking him to the Browns until right at the very end. And then those people,
well,
you know, Mike Mayock put
last
his out.
4 hours.
Yeah.
He probably finally told his wife. You know, he said he wasn't going to tell his wife.
Yeah.
He probably told his wife, and then it went around the neighborhood.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to credit it to.
You know, more and more and more, and it was like, all right. And then I was like, hey, they're about to take Baker Mayfield, and sure as shit they did. But the place erupted. I mean, there was a lot of people who were out of that loop, a lot of surprised people. I've seen the few Cleveland fans I know are not happy, thinking it's another Johnny Manziel pick. I disagree. I actually think this kid's going to be able to play if he can keep his head on straight. I think he's got more talent. The PFF stats kind of back up that. So for me, the big surprise was the Giants taking Barkley. It just seemed like a non-Gettleman move. But this was another thing that was a heavy rumor in the last couple days. So I just kept thinking to myself, no way, he's going to take the pass rusher. That's what Gettleman does. But, you know, he in that press conference, he hinted that, you know, we're looking for generational player or whatever. Or when you're picking number 2,
right.
You know, you get a generational player, you take him. And that kind of was like, well, shit, he's got to be talking about Barkley then, because he's the only player maybe outside of that guard, Quentin Nelson, that you could say is a generational player. So, in the end, you know, it was a surprise, but then it really wasn't, because it was rumored pretty heavily. You know, the Jets taking Darnold, that was no damn surprise. Actually, if they had the number 1 pick, I think they'd have picked him. So, yeah. So the first big, you know, what the fuck moment was the Browns taking Denzel Ward instead of Bradley Chubb. God, you know people are going to bird dog that decision between now and Lord knows when.
I think the biggest surprise for me early in the draft was all the guards and guard center types going off the board. Did you know, I told you I wanted Wynn. He went off at 23 before I picked at 24. And before him, they've just gotten Frank Ragnow and Billy Price, even with his torn pec. He went off the board before that. So that's three.
Yep, 2021.
And
Billy Price didn't drop
three of the guards. Then all of a sudden in the second round, it started off Austin Corbett, Will Hernandez went off. So that's four and five. And then the James Daniels that everybody was so high on that I told you he was a really good technician. He was a little light in the seat of his pants, but he's a really good technician. He went on like the sixth or seventh pick of that round. So there's like a half a dozen of them went in the top 40 and between 20 and 40.
Yeah.
Six of them come off the board. That's unbelievable for guards.
Yeah, it was a strong draft.
And that may be why we didn't get any guards. You know, they were just there and then they weren't.
I was surprised the Cowboys didn't go with a wide receiver. Of course, that's what, you know, everyone just assumes that when you lose a big-time player, you're going to fill that spot. You know, they said the same thing about the Panthers. Oh, they got to replace Andrew Norwell, so they'd slot a guard in. So it's like, you know, they just don't think that way. They like this Vanderbilt
Dallas
guy.
I liked him a lot in school. He is strong in pass coverage and fast.
Yeah.
He's going to be really good. But the Cowboys did get their wide receiver in the third round.
Yeah.
So they not like they missed out. They got the kid from Colorado State, Gallup, that played so well in the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, there was a lot of good players that went off the board in the second round. Josh Jackson going all the way to, 45? That's just surprising. He led the damn nation in interceptions.
And it makes you wonder what they know that's just not general knowledge when things like that happen.
Yeah. I wonder, though, if Jesse Bates had been still on the board if we'd have taken him instead of Dante Jackson.
I kind of think so. Like I said, I thought they would pick the wide receiver in the first round, even if Wynn had been on there, and that's who I wanted. But I wanted Bates in the second round, and I think they would have taken him.
Yeah. This wasn't a lot of
because there were a lot
left though in the third round.
What's that?
Cornerbacks had a little run on it, but there wasn't a lot of cornerbacks left in that tier though. If you wait to the third round to get one, but there was some other safety, Harrison and that Tarvarius Moore.
Yeah, I never was a big fan of the Alabama safety, though. What's his name? You just said it.
Tarvarius Moore?
No, the one. What was the kid's name? The strong safety from
where?
Alabama. From Alabama.
Oh,
Harrison.
Yeah. Harrison. Yeah. There was a lot of people agreed that he wasn't that great in coverage, is more of a run stopper, right?
Yeah, and they, you know, every mock you saw, he was going in the first 20 picks. And I never saw it, and sure enough, you saw where he dropped back to.
Reed went into the third round. Wasn't that a surprise?
Yeah.
Now I got to check them.
Well, I have to say I was on that a little bit because I was telling everybody that I preferred Bates to Reed, but I like Reed too. You know, I thought Reed would be a good pick for us, but I'd go for Bates before I'd go for Reed. And I didn't want to pick Reed in the first round. That's one of the reasons I was saying I wanted to trade back. There was going to be a lot of good players in the second, third rounds.
Yeah,
we could have traded back to the second round and got 3 second-round picks and a third-round pick. We'd have been in good shape.
Yeah. I haven't looked to see who won the contest. See, I got to do that tonight. What night was the, was it the 27th? Was the first night of the draft?
26th.
That means, Oh, there it is. Oh, yeah. Started on my birthday, the 19th. So, let's see how I did on my picks. Mike Hughes, no. Justin Reed, no. DJ Moore, bing, bing, bing. I got one. Patrick Moore.
That's probably more than I
can. No. Yeah. Jesse Bates, no. Duke Dawson, no. Anthony Miller, no. Rashad Penny, damn. So, I got one.
Wow, didn't Penny go early?
Yeah, he did. Well, it was the Patriots, right? Took him in the first round? Shit.
Yeah. Either Patriots or Seattle. I can't remember which one it was. Let's see if I can find it.
I'm going to have to pull up the damn list for who we drafted because bunch of damn people I can't remember.
Let's see. Yeah, it was Seattle picked him at 27. Picked Rashad Penny. And New England picked Sonny Michel at 31.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
You want me to give you a list of the Carolina Panther picks?
No, I have it right here. I was more joking than anything. Let's see. All right, here's the first person. Well, the first person put DJ Moore at 24. He nailed that one dead, but got nothing else right. So that's Carpan Fan 95 is in the lead. So let's see if anybody gets more than one. It's going to be a hard... I mean, that list outside of maybe Ian Thomas. DJ,
yeah, somebody might have Haynes. Like I said, I like Haynes. I almost put him down.
Martinez Rankins. Oh, there's an Ian Thomas. Oh, but he didn't put DJ Moore. That's Agent Green. It looks like he just got one correct. First one to get Ian Thomas, though. So, hat tip for that. Bunch of misses there. Yeah. Oh, there's, let's see, Hunt. With an exclamation point, got Dante Jackson, but nothing else. Huh. Yeah. Pulled that one out of his ass, I think. Oh, you know, I wouldn't mind if we'd take it to Queen Griffin. Oh, God, Kodiak, Queen City, North Carolina. Not even close, dude. Nothing. Magic Man, 56. Nothing.
Yeah, I think when you get to mine, you can just skip it. I think I got nothing.
Yeah. Ian, there's another Ian Thomas. Boy, not getting many DJ Moores anymore. Quinemius Brown, St. Brown. He went later in the draft. Oh, yeah. See, we are just terrible at picking. There's another DJ Moore, finally. But, you know, it's like people put too many shots the first or second round, you know. You got to take a couple shots at a little bit later.
Well, if you concentrate on the first and second round, you might get a couple, but, you know, I'd rather shotgun it.
There's another Ian Thomas. So a DJ Moore and Ian Thomas would look like a winner right now if somebody could put those two together. About halfway through. Nothing. Limey. Limey Panther. Zero. There's an Ian Thomas. We have a new leader. One Utila, I've never heard of. Got DJ Moore. Oh, my God, this is going to be a winner, winner, chicken dinner. There ain't no doubt about it. You got DJ Moore, Ian Thomas, and Dante Jackson.
Yeah, you might as well quit looking then.
Yeah.
There's
even
your winner.
Carolina Phil Pusher said you killed it. Yeah. Oh, this has to be the wiener. I mean, I got to keep going through the list, but three is usually.
Oh, hell. I mean, all hell.
All hell. Yeah, he did. Damn. Dante. Yeah. Shit. Who is this guy? I've never heard of him. Let me look him up here. One Utila.
Atzilla.
Last login. Joined in 2014. No, it's the letter number one, then U-T-I-L-A. All one word. The number one to, I don't know what he's trying to say there. It's a weird name. But he's been around a while. Five posts, 764 comments, so shit. So I'm just not paying attention.
Have to start paying attention to him now. He knows what he's doing.
No shit. Man, impress the shit out of me. Considering how no one else is getting even close. Okay, so there he is. All right. Keep rolling right here. Yardstick, nothing. North Carolina Birdman, nothing. Oh, DJ Moore and an Ian Thomas together. Richardson Blue. That's it. Just two. So Richardson Blue's got him a runner-up status at the moment. Better than I did.
As soon as they got DJ Moore in the first, I was done. Because I was looking at the guards and then going with the wide receiver. I had a couple of the guards down, and then I had James Washington in the second. And he was actually there in the second. If we hadn't gotten a wide receiver in the first, he might have been the pick in the second, you know. And I had Bates on mine, so I'd have had that one covered. But just going away from the guard killed me.
Yeah. Tony Tooch got two, right? Tony Tooch, 99.
All right.
Got Ian Thomas and DJ Moore. That's what I was thinking somebody would get sooner or later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonder how he's doing there in Jacksonville. You know, he lives in Jacksonville.
Who does?
Tony.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't know that.
He's an ex-Squiddly Diddly.
What is that?
Navy. Ex-Navy.
I think some of my favorite parts was hearing, seeing the Bears and the Lions fans team up yelling, "Packers suck."
Your wife wouldn't have been happy.
See, it was the only time I could yell at it. I'd be covered up, and you know, my wife wasn't there to yell at me. So, so I got to let it rip.
Yeah, you would be singing soprano if she heard you do that.
Oh yeah, so I might have to burn this tape when it's over. You're gonna listen to this episode. You got 24 hours. Now that I've fessed up to chanting with enthusiasm that the Packers do, in fact, suck. I haven't seen if there's any other callers out there. No? Thought we'd have a few more. All right, winding down here on the Pick the Panthers. Oh, somebody did Colby Gossett, Badger Pack.
I had him on mine, too. I had Gossett on mine also.
Yep. There's a DJ Moore. Yep. So I think one of those Carolina Pill Pushers already gone through the list and figured out who won. That's why he put a comment under that one that you killed it.
Yep.
So, not quite done yet, but I just don't think anybody's going to get four correct.
No.
That would be,
I don't think anybody else can get three.
Amazing.
That's amazing, really. When you figure there's 250 picks.
I mean, so there has been four correct names brought up. Moore, Thomas, well, no, right, and Jackson.
You said Moore, Thomas, Jackson.
Yeah, with a three. That's, yeah. That's,
nobody's got anybody but those three, huh?
Yeah, you got all three.
Nobody
of
had Galdon, nobody had Haynes.
Yeah.
Nobody had Carter, nobody had Smith, nobody had Norton.
Yeah.
Like I said, I thought about putting Haynes down, but I just thought it was a sort of way out there.
Yeah.
If I was going to do a defensive end, I'd have probably put EG4 or else Thomas.
Yeah, I'm seeing DJ Moore definitely is the most popular correct pick.
I hope they're all right.
Could
I have been
so what
happy with
you? You'd be happy with what?
I was just going to say, I'd have been just as happy with James Washington or Traquan Smith as I am with Moore, really. But I'm hoping I'm wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we need this kid to make a splash. No doubt. All right, I got through the list. So that is definitely our winner with three correct picks, which I think is typically who has been the winner. Usually if you hit three, that's the magic number.
Right.
All right. Let me leave that up. And what picks would you, you know, like I said, I'm going to put up a post tomorrow with my, you know, a 2018 Panthers redraft. And I think I'm going to keep DJ Moore. Definitely keeping DJ Moore. I like that pick. And then the Ian Thomas pick, I think I agree. And now I think I like DeVonte Jackson, even though at the time I was questioning it. But then the Rashawn Golden pick, I don't know. If we
like I said, I don't know. I'm starting on that one. I don't really know. I've never I don't remember ever seeing any tape on him. I don't know.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think I might just leave it and keep the draft picks, the 101 and the 147. You don't know that Haynes wouldn't have been there at 147.
Right.
And so, you know, they traded up that six-rounder. So, now, Shaquem, so if you take Arden Key instead of Golden.
If you took who?
Arden Key, the LSU
defensive
end. So you got a defensive end there. And then at 136, you could take Shaquem Griffin or even Maurice Hurst. They're saying he's great. I mean, not that we don't – I mean, I get that we don't really need a defensive tackle, but, shit, when you can get a talent.
Well, we could have
like
taken Saran Neal there at the original pick, the 144 or whatever it was. The safety out of Jacksonville State, I like him.
Yeah, could have gotten the. I don't like that. You stay there. And then you could take. I don't think Hurst would have been there, but still, I think Shaquem Griffin would have been. Though I admit, that's a really good story that he gets reunited with his brother. But what is interesting is that these kids are twins, and yet one's a cornerback and the other's a linebacker, suggesting that. And they're identical twins, but obviously Shaquem's a little bit heavier, I would think, right?
Yeah, I think he probably worked out a little more, a little thicker.
Yeah, he had a little more to prove since he didn't have the this in the hand. But I don't think he's going to miss a beat.
You know, you don't want a sprinter that's heavy leg. You know, you look at a typical sprinter, they don't have big legs.
Yeah. Yeah, sprinters have big legs. You know anything about our UDFAs?
No, one of them's Clemson kid.
Saw that. The guard, yeah. Taylor Hearn. That's a big corn-fed dude.
And then we got the quarterback from Houston, Kyle Allen.
Yeah. Well, they did get a running back finally, the Bonifon. Now, what did he play? Because what's her
he
name?
He played in Louisville, but he played everywhere. He's the kid that they used at wide receiver and running back and forth. They kept swapping him back and forth. And somewhere along the line I read where he played some quarterback even.
So this Kyle
probably
Allen,
in a shot.
Is he a pocket? Is
I'm
he
sorry?
A pocket passer? The quarterback
I don't
Allen?
Think so. Not as Houston.
Not a pocket passer?
I don't
oh,
think
yeah,
so.
That's right. Yeah, he'd be a spread offense type of guy, right?
Yeah, running gun.
Running gun. Hmm. Well, seems more like what we would look for. Hana, what are you saying about Bonifon? I kind of got sidetracked on the.
I said he's the one that they used to swap him back and forth all the time between wide receiver and running back. But I read something on him somewhere today, just looking at it, said he played some quarterback for him.
Yeah, definitely. Jordan came out and said that the Panthers got him as to be a running back, which makes sense.
We needed
the
running back.
Thing he could learn. Huh?
We needed a running back, but I don't know about getting a 6'3" running back.
He's 6 foot. Here on Draft Scout, they're saying he's 6'1". Is that what the NFL? Is that what it came out? Did he go to the combine?
I don't know. I hadn't looked. I pulled out some stat on his. You know, it had a link with his name, and I looked it up, and he said he was 6'3", 212.
Oh, yeah, I'm seeing Louisville calling him 6'3", 206.
You know me, I like those little 5'10", 5'9", 5'11", under 6 foot tall running backs.
I'm on the Louisville Cardinal Roto World site. Said he had 74 yards and a score in their win over FSU, again for Louisville. Famous around Louisville's program for being a good soldier, moved off quarterback when Lamar Jackson emerged, played receiver, so lack of running back depth caused a second position change. 6'3", 206-pounder, had been referred by Jackson as a freakish athlete. Which would be like Bonham calling you a freak on the drums. I don't know what that means. Oh, John Bonham calling you. Okay. But he's miscast as a running back. Should get in the look in the NFL as a receiver. So maybe that's why she felt the need to clarify and say, nope, running back. Pretty running back. We'll see. Gadget plays, maybe. Definitely an interesting signing.
Yeah, let me look here. I just pulled up our roster. We've got 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 wide receivers without him. He would make the 14th wide receiver.
We tend to keep a lot of them in the off season.
Well, you got a lot of them in training camps, so you can keep the things moving, you know. They can get to run their routes and then take their time getting back and letting somebody else run the next couple of plays. So they always keep a lot of receivers for that reason. You realize that's what a lot of that's for.
Yeah. Let's see. Now moved on to Andre Smith, the North Carolina linebacker. I mean, long arm guy, 6 foot. Looks, you know, to me like a special teams guy. I mean, like those linebackers coverage.
Wonder if that means Ben Jacobs is gone.
I'm definitely going to compete. Let's see, he's coming off an excellent sophomore season. Smith looked to be one of the top linebackers in football in 17, started 2 games, racking up 21 tackles and an interception in 2 games before suffering a season-ending knee injury against Louisville. So they're looking back at his 2016 play, basically. He's a guy that got hurt and basically it cost him getting drafted. I don't know. We might have something here. Give him a shot. So mainly just going off his 2016 tape. Uh, Strength, throwback toughness at the position, lives the bank and anchor the hole. Plays quick off his blocks. Tackles with fundamentals. Whole list of good stuff. Weakness coming off that season-ending knee injury. Said he plays tight-hipped. Flexibility and agility are below average. Average reactive athleticism. I mean, he could still be recovering from that knee injury.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is maybe forced off the field in passing situations. Well, you know, for a linebacker, we'd usually take one of them off the field anyway. So if he can be a first and second down specialist, then shit, we'll take that, I would think. So we'll see, man. Our special teams did improve last year.
Yeah, they did. They really did. So
it'd be nice if offense and the defense could get back to their 2015 levels and put in better special teams and might win 12 games again.
And play a Super Bowl on some other field that's not so slippery.
Exactly. Where is the Super Bowl this year?
I don't know.
Usually the NFL side of the road to the Super Bowl, right? 53, right?
53, yeah.
The road. Draft class power rankings. Oh, God. I hate to even look at shit like this. Oh, shit. They just went straight to the 9 to something. Okay. They queued it up for me. The Panthers are giving the 14th ranking, which I can't really, even off the top of my head, argue that they should be higher than that.
Yeah.
But again, who knows, a year from now we could go the epic Carolina Panthers 2018 draft class with three, you know, all pros. Rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year, Dante Jackson, offensive player of the year, DJ Moore. Yeah. Dream a little bit.
Oh, wow. Super Bowl 53. It's going to be at the anus.
The anus?
Yeah, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The big anus. Remember the top slides around? Looks like a bunghole.
The one in Atlanta or New Orleans?
Yeah. Atlanta.
Yeah. Atlanta, the new one. Oh. Well, shit. That seems like, you know, the perfect place to win a Super Bowl.
What a perfect comment, too. Well, shit. And what a wonderful set of crowd you could expect in Atlanta. A kind and giving place to go.
So hospitable.
I told my wife if I'd have had a dart gun, one of those tranquilizer dart guns, I could have taken out a couple of them when we were there.
I want to definitely backhand that kid in the damn king outfit. What the hell do you think he was doing? He thought he was damn the Burger King from Atlanta or something.
When we went to that game, they had a guy that was down in front of us and over about 10 people, and he had the loudest, shrillest whistle, and he whistled for the entire game. He was an asshole.
Oh, so they're giving the Giants number one props for getting Barkley. Well, how could you fuck that up? You get the best player at number two. Then Will Hernandez, Lorenzo Carter, which I thought was a bit of a reach at 66. NC State, the BJ Hill, he was he was rated pretty highly. It's because they got that quarterback. They think Gettleman thinks his future quarterback is going to be Kyle Lauletta from Richmond. That's it.
Yeah, the kid from Richmond. I've seen him play a lot because I was watching the safety there, David Jones, that they had that went to New England that I thought we should have picked off the practice. They put him on the practice squad last year. I'd have loved it if we'd have picked him off the practice squad off of the Patriots.
Oh, look at him sucking the Cowboys' teat, number two, because of Vander Esch. Connor Williams, which nobody had him going. But they took him 50th? Oh, okay, that's not who I'm thinking of. It was that Colton guy that I was thinking of. All right, yeah, Gallup. Looks like they went, got some good defensive players. But
yeah, Gallup is a kid
I don't know what they're talking
about.
Colorado
State. It was pretty good.
Yeah. Third. Definitely got a couple of good guards. They got Quentin Nelson and Brandon Smith. So, you know, that they were on it. Ooh, the Bucks, they gave fourth. Vitavia, Ronald Jones, that's probably a good pick. Carlton Davis, that was probably good value. I don't know, Alex Kappa. Yeah, I think they did have a pretty good draft.
Yeah, everybody's higher on Kappa. Was.
Yeah. Let me go ahead and see who they rated last. Who do you think it is? Who do you think they go 32?
Oakland.
Oakland?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be the Saints. Oh, I nailed it. And Oakland's 31. So, we're far off.
Pretty good guess.
Yeah. That was. Yeah, so, yeah, they took the Colton Miller 15 overall, and I mean, I think the highest I saw him was in the middle of the second round. So, again, even if you think he was – if he could – he may end up being all pro, but if you could have gotten him in the second round, you know, why not do that? You know, it's just rolling the dice. But then P.J. Hall ran the tackle. So, we got two tackles. Arden Key, cornerback. Oh, they're the ones that took Maurice Hurst. I don't think it was Tennessee. It was the Raiders. But I don't know. Maybe they downgraded them for that.
Yeah.
Hurst, how he's diagnosed with a heart condition.
I remember I wasn't looking at anything about them particularly, but I was looking at a list of who took what. And when I saw their list, it was like, they took a lot of guys that they're looking for potential in, you know, but they didn't have anybody with a lot of production that I saw.
Yeah, they took, so they you know, they made that big trade for Davenport, but the wide receiver is Traquan Smith, right, who you were talking about.
Yeah, I like him.
Earlier.
Just a stretch.
Yeah. Yeah. Florida State off. To tackle Rick Leonard, and then a bunch of people I've never heard of from there.
Like I said, I know I looked, thought they did a lot of potential good players, but you can't do the whole draft of potential because you're going to get burned on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they didn't like the Eagles draft either. They came in third, Chiefs 29. Of course, Chiefs, you know, didn't have hardly any picks in this draft. They didn't even get their first pick till 46. Didn't like the Texans or the Steelers. Yeah. Well, shit, we got to be about out of time. Yep, down to 5 minutes. So, what was your favorite part of our 2 days in Dallas?
The Tex-Mex lunch we had. It was good.
I saw you put that. We should have went back there. Yeah.
He would have remembered us, the bartender.
Yeah. I, I liked it when things got really hopping in the first round and they were running people through the crowd. And so when you got to get up close to, you know, famous people, it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, that and just finding out, again, for me, just realizing that I was on television, I kind of had a feeling that I had a shot, but for it to end up like it was like, wow. So what was your, we always do this with our kids after we take a trip or somewhere. We say high point, low point. So what would be then your low point?
Not getting Jim Brown's autograph when he had my hat in his hand.
He had it in his hand.
I was pretty disappointed.
Didn't do it, huh?
You know, to be right there, knowing I'll never see him again in my lifetime, I don't think.
Yeah. I think for me it was just some of the acoustic problems in there, not being able to hear, you know, because in some cases, like if Detroit was picking, then the people in front of us were standing on their chairs and you couldn't see. That didn't happen that often, so I didn't care, but there was just a lot of times where it was hard to hear what they were saying. That would be my my biggest piece. If I didn't actually couldn't hear it through the earpiece, then it was kind of hard to hear what they were saying sometimes, particularly in the first, the early rounds. After then, it started to thin out a little bit, particularly on the, you know, the second day and into the third round.
Well, they got rid of all the boos for no apparent reason. Roger Goodell wasn't up on the podium, so they got to relax a little bit. Their job was done.
I mean, they just had to know when they put it in Dallas with all the problems he's had with the Dallas franchise recently. He had to know that was going to happen.
It happens everywhere. The Jets fans set the table for that back in New York all those years. They boo for everything. So now it's just gotten sort of a comedy. You know, he comes out there smiling, knowing it's coming. Kind of stupid, you know. I don't know. I guess it's a legacy boo now.
Well, I think for some people it was, and, you know, then you just join in because, you know, sometimes it's just fun to, you know, it's just fun to boo somebody sometimes.
So I refrained. Right. I didn't.
I did.
I was looking for a more civil me.
Oh, okay.
I was on my good behavior. Or Alexander might have hit me.
Yeah. Well, Goose, we're out of time, man. Let's do it again next week.
Just want to let you know, I enjoyed the trip, bud.
I did too, man. I enjoyed it. Thanks for taking me along. Fucking bucket list item for sure.
Yeah, but I bailed on you at the airport. I got a bag and I split.
I don't blame you. My car was there, man. I was out. I did. I went looking for you. I mean, I looked for you, but I was looking for you as I was walking out. I was like, well, man, either he went to the bathroom or he is out. that didn't take too long to get my bag, but. Yeah, you know, I just unpacked my bag earlier today. I completely went straight into the birthday party and then spent all day yesterday recovering and cleaning up from the birthday party and then went to work Monday after having 2 days off and had tons of shit to do. So I tell you, I'm just now catching my breath today.
I avoided being abused just barely because I came home with those two pom-poms and showed my wife what I told you I was going to show you with them. And she wasn't. They're in the garbage. No.
They're in the garbage.
That was a good idea, but apparently not.
All right. Well, shit, the recording's already ended. But, you know, thanks for dialing in. And let's try to do it again next week as we get a little better feel for our draft picks. But also, I'm going to invite my buddy Dave Halperin, the Cowboys blogger, because he's kind of wanting to know what we thought of Dallas and Jerry World and our opener against each other. You know,
okay, well, I have to sit here and write some insults down so I don't forget them.
Please do. Please.
Southern hospitality.
Every time I get him on the phone for these things, he's Mr. Business. You know, he doesn't really cut up or nothing. He's like, you know, I'm supposed to ask him questions. He's going to give me his honest answer, blah, blah, blah. And I'm, you know, I'm trying to crack jokes and get him to loosen up and say, look, this ain't that kind of, you know, this ain't that kind of show.
Yeah.
Just,
well, I could always tell him,
know,
bless his heart. That's what got me kicked off the Seattle blog that time.
Yeah.
Remember that? Got kicked off the blog for telling somebody, bless your heart.
You instigator, you.
I know, I'm a rotten person. That was the silliest thing.
Wow.
And then he said, that's the equivalent of saying, fuck off. I said, no, it's not.
That's just not true.
No, it's more
it's
like
that
you're
bad.
Stupid and I don't know you enough.
Yeah, it's not an F you. It's just a, oh, okay, you're not, you know, that sharp or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. This is a good way to end the conversation. I'm ready to move on. Bless your heart.
Exactly. All right, buddy. I'm going to get some sleep.
Okay, talk to you later.
Catch you next week. All right.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye.